Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 14, Devotional Qualities. Some scholars recommend that knowledge and renunciation are important factors for elevating oneself to devotional service. But actually, that is not a fact. Actually, the cultivation of knowledge or renunciation, which are favorable for achieving a footing in Krishna consciousness, may be accepted in the beginning, but ultimately they may also come to be rejected. For devotional service is dependent on nothing other than the sentiment or desire for such service. It requires nothing more than sincerity. It is the opinion of expert devotees that mental speculation and the artificial austerities of yoga practice may be favorable for becoming liberated from material contamination, but they will also make one's heart harder and harder, and so they will not help at all in the progress of devotional service. These processes are therefore not favorable for entering into the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Actually, Krishna consciousness, devotional service itself, is the only way of advancing in devotional life. Devotional service is absolute. It is both the cause and the effect. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause and effect of all that be. And to approach Krishna, the Absolute, the process of devotional service, which is also absolute, has to be adopted. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita by the Lord, Krishna Himself. Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yas chatmi tatvataha tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate tad anantaram. One can understand me only through devotional service. In beginning his teaching of the Gita, Krishna said to Arjuna, Bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam hi etad utamam. Because you are my devotee, I shall teach these secrets to you. Vedic knowledge means ultimately to understand the Supreme Lord, and the process of entering into His kingdom is devotional service. That is accepted by all authentic scriptures. Mental speculators neglect the process of devotional service, and simply by trying to defeat others in philosophical research, they fail to develop the ecstasy of devotion. In the 11th canto, 20th chapter, verse 31 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says, Tasman mad bhakti yuktasya yogino vai mad atmanah nagyanam nacha vairagyam prayasrayo bhaved iha. O my dear Uddhava, for persons who are seriously engaged in my service, the cultivation of philosophical speculation and artificial renunciation are not very favorable. When a person becomes my devotee, he or she automatically attains the fruits of the renunciation of material enjoyment and thus gets sufficient knowledge to understand the absolute truth. And that is the test of advancement in devotional service. For a devotee cannot be in darkness because the Lord shows him or her special favor and enlightens one from within. In the 11th canto, 20th chapter, verses 32 and 33 of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord further instructs Uddhava, Yat karma bir yat tapasa, jnana vairagya tascha yat, yogena dana dharmena, shreyo bir itarayar api, sarvang mad bhakti yogena, mad bhakto labatenjasa, svarga pavargan mad dhamma, katanchid yadi vanchati. O my dear friend, the profits derived from fruitive activities, austerities, the culture of philosophical knowledge, renunciation, the practice of mystic yoga, charity, and all similar auspicious activities are automatically achieved by my devotees, those who are simply attached to me by loving service. These devotees have everything at their disposal, but they desire nothing outside of my devotional service. If ever a devotee should desire some material profit, like promotion to the heavenly planets, or even some spiritual profit, like going to the Vaikunthas, by my causeless mercy, his or her desires are very easily fulfilled. Actually, a person who is developing Krishna consciousness and still has some attachment to material enjoyment will soon be freed from such a tendency by regularly discharging devotional service under the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master. Srila Rupa Goswami then recommends that one should not be attached to material sense enjoyment, but should accept everything enjoyable which is in relationship to Krishna. For example, eating is necessary, and one wants some palatable dishes to satisfy his or her sense of taste. So in that case, for the satisfaction of Krishna, rather than for the satisfaction of the tongue, some palatable dishes may be prepared and then offered to Krishna. Then it is renunciation. So let the palatable dishes be prepared, but unless they are offered to Krishna, one should not accept them for eating. This vow of rejecting anything which is not offered to Krishna is actually renunciation. And by such renunciation, one is able to satisfy the demands of the senses. The impersonalists, who try to avoid everything material, may undergo severe austerities, but they miss the opportunity of being engaged in the service of the Lord. Thus, their renunciation is not sufficient for perfection. There are many instances where, following such artificial renunciation, without any contact with devotional service, the impersonalist again fell down and became attracted to material contamination. There are many supposed renouncers, even at the present moment, who officially become sannyasis or renouncers, and outwardly claim that spiritual existence is truth and material existence untruth. In this way, artificially, they make a show of renunciation of the material world. However, because they cannot reach the point of devotional service, they fail to achieve the goal, and they again come back to material activities, such as philanthropic work and political agitation. And there are many examples of so-called sannyasis who gave up this world as untruth, but again came down to the material world because they were not seeking their real repose at the lotus feet of the Lord. So one should not give up anything which can be utilized in the service of the Lord. That is a secret of devotional service. Anything which can be utilized in advancing Krishna consciousness and devotional service should be accepted. For instance, we are using many machines for the advancement of our present Krishna consciousness movement. Machines like typewriters, dictating machines, tape recorders, microphones, and airplanes. Sometimes people ask us, why are you utilizing material products if you condemn the advancement of material civilization? But actually, we do not condemn. We simply ask people to do whatever they are doing in Krishna consciousness. This is the same principle on which, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna advised Arjuna to utilize his fighting abilities in devotional service. Similarly, we are utilizing these machines for Krishna's service. With such sentiment for Krishna, or Krishna consciousness, we can accept everything. If the typewriter can be utilized for advancing our Krishna consciousness movement, we must accept it. Similarly, the dictating machine or any other machine must be used. Our vision is that Krishna is everything. Krishna is the cause and effect, and nothing belongs to us. Krishna's things must be used in the service of Krishna. That is our vision. This does not mean, however, that we should give up the principles of discharging devotional service or neglect abiding by the rules and regulations prescribed therein. In the neophyte stage of devotion, one must follow all the principles regulated by the authority of the spiritual master. The acceptance and rejection of things should always be in pursuance of the devotional principles. Not that one can independently manufacture some idea of what should be accepted or rejected. The spiritual master, as the visible manifestation of Krishna, is necessary, therefore, to direct the devotee on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spiritual master must never be carried away by an accumulation of wealth or a large number of followers. A bona fide spiritual master will never become like that. But sometimes, if a spiritual master is not properly authorized and only on his own initiative becomes a spiritual master, then he may be carried away by an accumulation of wealth and large numbers of disciples. So his is not a very high grade of devotional service. If a person is carried away by such achievements, then one's devotional service becomes slackened. One should therefore strictly adhere to the principles of disciplic succession. A Krishna conscious person, being naturally purified, has no need of developing any other purificatory process of thought or action. For on account of one's being highly elevated in Krishna consciousness, he or she has already acquired all the good qualities and is following the rules and regulations prescribed for the mystic yoga process. Such rules are automatically practiced by the devotees. A concrete example is the quality of non-violence, which is considered a good qualification. A devotee is naturally non-violent and therefore doesn't have to practice non-violence separately. Some people seek purification by joining a vegetarian movement, but a devotee is automatically a vegetarian. One doesn't need to practice separately in this matter or to join any society for vegetarians, for one is automatically vegetarian. There are many other instances showing that a devotee needn't practice anything but Krishna consciousness. All the good qualities of the demigods automatically develop within the devotee. Those who are intentionally practicing to be vegetarians or to become non-violent may have good qualifications by a material estimation, but these qualifications are not sufficient to make them devotees. A vegetarian is not necessarily a devotee, nor is a non-violent person, but a devotee is automatically both vegetarian and non-violent. Therefore, we must conclude that vegetarianism or non-violence is not the cause of devotion. In this connection, there is a story in the Skanda Purana about a hunter who was converted into a great devotee under the instruction of Narada Muni. When the hunter became a perfect devotee, he was not prepared to kill even an ant. Parvat Muni, a friend of Narada's, saw the wonderful transformation of the hunter by devotional service and thus remarked, "My dear hunter, your unwillingness to kill even an ant is not very astonishing. For any person who develops the devotional attitude has all the good qualities automatically manifested in one's person. A devotee is never a cause of distress to anyone." Sri Rupa Goswami affirms herein that purification of consciousness, purification of bodily activities, as well as austerities, peace of mind, etc., all become automatically manifest in the person who is engaged in devotional service. Sri Rupa Goswami also affirms herein that there are 9 different kinds of devotional service, which are listed as hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshipping the deity in the temple, praying, carrying out orders, serving Krishna as a friend, and sacrificing everything for Krishna. Each and every one of these processes is so powerful that if anyone follows even a single one of them, he or she can achieve the desired perfection without fail. For example, if one is attached simply to hearing about the Lord, and another is attached to chanting the glories of the holy name, both will achieve their desired goal in devotional service. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this has been explained. A person may execute 1, 2, 3, or all the different processes of devotional service, and at the ultimate end, one will achieve the desired goal of being established in devotional service. There are concrete examples of how a devotee discharged one of these services and achieved perfection. Sri Vishnu Shravane Parikshit, Abhavad Vyasaki Kirtane, Prahlada Smarane, Tad Angri Bhajane, Lakshmi Pritu Pujane, Akurastu Abhivandane, Kapi Patir Dasya Atta Sakye Arjuna, Sarvaswatma Nivedane Balir, Abhut Krishnaptir Eshang Para. King Parikshit achieved the desired goal of life simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadeva Goswami achieved the desired goal of life simply by reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj became successful in devotional service by always remembering the Lord. Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, was successful by engaging herself in massaging the lotus feet of the Lord. King Prithu became successful by worshipping in the temple. Akura became successful by offering prayers. Hanuman became successful by rendering personal service to Lord Ramachandra. Arjuna became successful by being a friend of Krishna. And Bali Maharaj became successful simply by offering all of his possessions to Krishna. There are also examples of devotees who discharged all the different items together. In the 9th canto, 4th chapter, verses 18 through 20 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a statement about Maharaj Ambarish, who followed every one of the devotional processes. In these verses, Shukadeva Goswami says, Savai manak Krishna padara vindayor vachansi vaikunta gunanu varnane karau hare mandira marjanadishu sruting chakarachuta satkatodaye mukunda lingalaya darshane drishau tadvritya gatra sparashenga sangamam granam chattapada saroja sarade srimat tulasya rasanang tadarpite padau hare kshetra padanusarpane shiro hrishikesha padabhivandane kamam chadasye natu kama kamyaya yathoktama shloka janasraya rati. King Ambarish first of all concentrated his mind on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and then engaged his speech in describing the pastimes and activities of the Lord. Ambarish engaged his hands in washing the temple of the Lord. He engaged his ears in hearing of the transcendental glories of the Lord. Ambarish engaged his eyes in seeing the beautiful deity in the temple. Ambarish engaged his body in associating with the pure devotees of the Lord. When you associate with someone, you have to sit down together, eat together, etc. And in this way, the touch of your body with another's body is inevitable. Ambarish Maharaj made his association only with pure devotees and did not allow his body to be touched by anyone else. Ambarish engaged his nostrils in smelling the flowers and tulsi offered to Krishna, and Ambarish engaged his tongue in tasting Krishna prasad, food prepared specifically for offering to the Lord, the remnants of which are taken by devotees. Maharaj Ambarish was able to offer very nice prasad to Krishna because he was a king and had no scarcity of finances. Ambarish used to offer Krishna the most royal dishes and would then taste the remnants as Krishna prasad. There was no scarcity in his royal style because Ambarish had a very beautiful temple wherein the deity of the Lord was decorated with costly paraphernalia and offered high-grade food. So everything was available, and Ambarish's engagement was always completely in Krishna consciousness. The idea is that we should follow in the footsteps of great devotees. If we are unable to execute all the different items of devotional service, we must try to execute at least one of them, as exemplified by previous acharyas. And if we are engaged in the execution of all the items of devotional service, as was Maharaj Ambarish, then the perfection of devotional service is guaranteed from each one of these items. And with the first complete engagement, one becomes automatically detached from material contamination, and liberation becomes the maidservant of the devotee. This idea is confirmed by Bilva Mangala Thakur. Mukti swayam vukulitanjali sevate sman. If one develops unalloyed devotion to the Lord, liberation will follow the devotee as his or her maidservant. Finally, Srila Rupa Goswami says that the regulative principles of devotional service are sometimes described by authorities as the path of serving the Lord in opulence. Thus ends Chapter 14, Devotional Qualifications, recorded January 27, 2021, by Nirantara Das. All glories to the author, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada.